And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m. This is Sheridan Gold on Living Proof, and I will be the only host tonight as my usual co-host and wife, Diana Grayer, is actually going to be my guest tonight. Hello, Diana.
Hey, this is sweet. I like it.
Tonight is going to be a very special treat. Diana will be discussing her play, Private Lives, Private Lies, which is going to be performed later on this month. And also, you'll hear some of the cast members discussing their roles. So stay tuned for details about the play. Listen to the voices of the cast, and hear Diana's thoughts about the process of bringing live theater to Sonoma County. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of July 1st, 2018. Last Tuesday, June 26th, was remembered as the anniversary of three significant U.S. Supreme Court rulings related to LGBT civil rights. On this day in 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down all of the remaining sodomy laws in the country, declaring that what consenting adults do sexually in the privacy of their own home is a protected right. And then in 2013, the Supreme Court declared aspects of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional and also told the defenders of California's Proposition 8 that they had no standing in their pursuit to prohibit marriage equality in California. In 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court announced its landmark case declaring the right to marry for same-sex couples to be a constitutionally protected right. But since that time, efforts have been made to erode the right to marry. In states like Alabama, eight counties have stopped issuing marriage licenses altogether so that they don't have to give same-sex couples those licenses. The state legislature repeatedly tried to pass a bill that would eliminate licenses statewide. And then the masterpiece cake shop ruling by the Supreme Court this year paves the way for much broader application of a conscience clause for businesses. But perhaps the greatest fear comes from this week's announcement by Justice Anthony Kennedy about his retirement. Kennedy is the one who wrote the deciding vote on marriage equality and has long been seen as the swing vote on the Supreme Court. Donald Trump will now have a second opportunity to nominate a radically conservative justice, and if approved, will swing the court far to the right as new decisions about religious freedom and LGBT equality come forward. The firewall against the subtle erosion of our rights is public opinion. Marriage equality is supported by a majority of Americans now, with support particularly strong among young adults. A recent poll found that only 17% of those 18 to 29 oppose marriage equality. And here locally, the LGBTQ Connection will be hosting a best practices training conducted all in Spanish. Attendees will learn about LGBTQ identity terms and issues and hear from a panel of LGBTQ people about their experiences, as well as have an opportunity for questions and answers. The training is free and will take place on Tuesday, July 10th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. You must RSVP at lgbtqconnection.eventbrite.com. And finally, registration is now underway for fall courses in LGBT studies at both Santa Rosa Junior College and Napa Valley College. If you've ever wanted to learn more about LGBTQ history, now is your chance. At Napa Valley College, LGBT 120 Introduction to LGBT Studies will meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. starting August 14th. You can register now at napavalley.edu. And for a study of LGBTQ literature, Santa Rosa JC is offering English 36, LGBT Arts and Literature. This class will meet on Monday nights at 6 p.m. starting August 20th. Register now at santarosa.edu. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
But I don't know what to do. And welcome back to Living Proof. If you just joined me, I'm Sheridan Gold, and I am in studio with my co-host and wife, Diana Grayer. Tables have turned. Diana is my guest tonight, and she will be discussing her play, Private Lives, Private Lies. So let's get to it. Hello, Diana.
Hey.
So nice to have you as a guest.
It's different, but it's nice.
So you've been really busy getting the production up and running. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your process?
I've been really, really busy. As you know, I have 19 actors in my play. And unfortunately, this last time, since last August, my last play, Private Lives, Private Lies, I lost 12 actors. And so that was a big chunk of time of trying to find actors. And finally, I got them. And last night, we had a rehearsal. We rehearse in my garage, as you know, and it's a really, really fun experience. We had 18 actors show up and myself. So we had 19 people in circle. Just doing that piece of work is really powerful for everybody involved. So I'm busy. I'm always busy. I'm doing things to promote the play. I'm always busy on Facebook. I'm always talking to people, trying to promote it. I'm trying to, in the process of getting ads for the playbill. So there's always something that I'm thinking about. So it's a beautiful thing, though.
So if somebody wanted to put an ad in the playbill, is it too late?
No, they can do that. It's not too late. They need to just give me a call or an email. And they can learn all about us on Facebook, my Facebook page, Private Lives, Private Lies. And also on the website, www.privatelivesprivatelies.com. My number, my email is all out there for people to get a hold of me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the play? Like, what are the dates and where will it be performed? And
the dates are July 21st, 22nd, and it's going to be here locally in Cotati at Congregation Ner Shalom. Most people know of the building, and it's the old Cotati Cabaret. They used to have performances there all the time. Now it's under the heading of Congregation Ner Shalom now. So that's where it's going to be.
And what times?
Saturday show is 7 o'clock, and Sunday show is 2 o'clock.
So this is your seventh
production
time. Yeah, so how is the seventh time different than the past six times? What are you up against, or what are you finding? What are you discovering?
Well, the seventh production is different in that I have 12 different people coming to play these different roles. And so that in itself gives it a tweak. Like I have a different singer, and I have less singers, but I have one major singer who's going to be doing all the verses in the song. So it switches the framework of it somehow, but the storylines stay the same. And so different people who are acting in those different roles, they bring a little bit of themselves. So that's 12 different energies that's going to be different. But the storyline is consistent and stays the same. Maybe I added a few words or a few lines here and there, but the storylines are really similar because the messages that I want to portray are really important for these different scenes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the different scenes?
The different scenes, or we could talk about the stories. So the first story is what happens is two women are on stage. And as most people know, I'm a marriage family therapist. My life is about psychology. I'm a professor. I'm teaching psychology. And so the two women are struggling with intimacy issues. And they're struggling with communication issues. And most people often have problems communicating. I learned that as a therapist, sitting with clients. And I can have clients who have been in relationship for 20, 30 years, 40 years, and they don't talk about the necessary issues. And so they stay stagnant in their relationship. They're not happy. And so I wanted to put these two women on stage and have it be portrayed. How do you do this dance? How do you do the relationship dance? How do you talk about those hard issues? How do you be honest and open about what is interfering in the relationship? That's what's important. So these two women are working it out, and people get to see how to do it, how to do the relationship dance. And so that's the first story. And then the second story is about a family dealing with a gay son. I call it Young Love, this particular one, and I'm telling you the title because two young people are on stage in the beginning, and it's all about love. It's all about flirtation, that young part of ourselves. You know, we have all experienced that part that you're flirting, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it's there. We do it as teens, right? There's a surprise that happens, but I'm not going to tell you about that. And what happens is the parents eventually show up earlier than expected, and they catch the two boys kissing, flirting, whatever they're doing. And it goes crazy from that point on. It's about the family learning how to deal with this situation that happened, you know, dealing with the gay son. And also, I want to highlight the fact that kids are kicked out of the homes. LGBT kids are homeless and they're kicked out like instantly without nowhere to go. You know, it's just a hard process. So I really want people to really feel into how it feels to be rejected for who you are, especially a young person. So that's the second story. So the third story is about alcoholism. And alcoholism is rampant. I decided on alcoholism because of that fact, but I could have done any addiction. So there's two gay guys. This story about two gay guys. One is an alcoholic and one partner is like fed up and can't deal with it and can't handle it anymore. And so he sought help from a psychologist to put on what's called an intervention. You can invite family members and friends to join you in helping confront the alcoholic and saying that what you're doing, you're killing yourself and we can't stand by to watch you kill yourself, which is so important. So many people don't know how to talk about that. You know, if you see somebody drowning, you're going to let them drown or you're going to jump in and try and save them. And so this is about saving lives. This is about being honest and being truthful about how everybody's affected by the alcoholic. Very moving and very touching and very profound story. Yeah, all of them are that way, but it's really heart-wrenching. And so the last story is about two brides who are getting married. And one of the brides received a rejection letter from dad that he's not in favor of the wedding and that he would not be attending. And so the process is the couple and the two best friends are on stage. How do you deal with a rejection on your wedding day? Just 3 hours before you go and say, I do. How do you deal with that? And so in that time frame on stage, in that story, we talk about the history of marriage equality. They never thought that this would be possible for them in their lifetime. And then now they have the opportunity to get married. So how do you move past a rejection? So they work it through. And a lot of people, they get defeated. They don't know how to work through issues. And so this is about how do you work through rejection? How do you work through and move on and live your life because your life matters? And so that's what happens. They get to express all the anger and the hurt and the rejection and all of those feelings, negative feelings. And so the minister comes in and helps them ritualize the positive. And so they can move that negative energy out and bring in the positive energy so they can go and say their vows and be happy together forever, you know, hopefully. But those are the four stories. Mm-hmm. And very powerful. And then we do have some humor in those stories. So we get to laugh a lot and you get to cry a lot. It's wonderful, you know, being the director, I get to sit in the back. My work is done, right? Once I'm watching, once all the rehearsals are done and I'm in the back and I get to listen to people cry. I get to listen to people laugh. I get to talk to them at intermission. And so many people have told me, wow, I can relate to all of those stories. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So there you have it.
Let me ask you about this production in particular, your seventh time of finding a venue. What are some of the unique challenges that you're facing?
Well, as I said earlier, I had to recruit 12 actors. And how do I get my actors?
How do you get your actors,
exactly,
Diana?
So that's, yeah, I have to hustle.
What does that mean? What does that look like?
I'm hustling. I go to dinner. I go to lunch. I go to Home Depot. I go to Lowe's. I go to Costco. When I see people who fit into those roles, I approach them. And I say, hey, some people might be eating lunch and I'm disturbing them. I look at them and I say, wow, they can play Johnny, or they can play, you know, Sarah, or whatever the actor is. And so I knock on their door, tap on their table and say, hey, have you ever thought about acting? So it's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of work. And that's my biggest challenge, because that's the most tiring for me, because I have a list of other things that I need to do.
It's so far away from writing and creating and directing.
Yes, isn't it? It's work. But I love meeting people and I love connecting. So that's one of my major challenges. And if I had a dream, it would be to have a budget where I can hire somebody to be my casting recruiter. And then I can be the one to set up appointments where they can audition, and I can be there to audition them. So that would save a lot of time and a lot of energy. So that, I think that would be, that's the biggest challenge for me.
Do you ever get tired? And I mean, what makes you want to keep continuing?
You know, I did get tired after the last one last year, August. And so that's why the span, we had three shows last year, three different venues, I should say, last year. But it took me longer this time to get this one going, because I didn't know what the interest was. And so people are saying, when are you going to have your play again? When are you going to have your play again? And so that got me going again. But then, you know, I sit and think and I pray a lot on it, you know, and I get signs where I need to do it again. But I understand the medicine. It's huge. It's really important. And working with these actors, I get reinvigorated again, rejuvenated again, because I see what the medicine is doing with my new cast members. So I want to continue to spread this medicine to the actors and to the audiences, because I know. So once I get my energy back, I know the importance of the play. And so that's what keeps me going again. Mm-hmm. And right now, even with all the work that I'm doing and having to locate 12 actors, I'm going to do it again. Because I have people say, oh, Diana, I was so happy you're doing it again. And I wanted to see it this time. And then I noticed that I had vacation plans already on that date. So you're going to have it again? So I hear that all the time. So a lot of people are coming this time who couldn't come the time before. But then there are still people who haven't seen it. And there's a lot of people who haven't seen it who need to see it. A lot of people. Because I know the work, I hear the stories in my private practice, I sit with clients all the time, I hear friends tell their stories to me all the time, and the medicine is important, and so I want to continue to spread the medicine, the wealth.
Well, that sounds like so inspirational, Diana. I think it's a good time to take a listen to your cast members. All right, let's do that.
Oh, sounds great.
Hi, my name is Diane Madrigal, and I play Deidre in Hidden Cries in the play Private Lives, Private Lies. The message my character is trying to portray is that of communication and relationship, and the importance of not losing touch with each other and holding on to genuine love. I think this play has been pivotal in my life. It's given me an opportunity to express myself in a way that really embodies true love and genuineness, and what that feels like to have a partner that you can love freely and openly.
Hi, my name is Peyton, and I play Johnny in Young Love. I feel the message of my character is to reach out to youth and let them know that they don't have to be afraid of who they are, regardless of what society or their parents or whoever might say. To me, being in the play, it's about breaking down walls and doing things that I might be afraid to do, but in the end, I think that it'll all be worth it.
Hello, my name is Ripley Matthews, and I play Donald in Young Love.
The message of my character is encouraging others to be their true selves, as my character encourages the people in the play to be their true selves, especially his boyfriend, Johnny, who has trouble coming to terms with who he seems to be, but then eventually is able to find himself, and he's able to express himself appropriately to how he feels. For me, being in the play is exposing all of the different nuances to the LGBTQ narrative and how it's not the same for everyone, obviously, as no one's life is the same, and how nobody is alike, including in the queer community, and sort of breaking down stereotypes in a manner of fashion, showing that we are just people like every other person.
Yes, my name's Mike, and I play the dad in Young Love vignette. And the character is a very angry father who seems to be more of a bigot and narrow-minded, not a good listener, and very concerned about his life with his family. More about him. Everything's about him, basically. And he makes that clear with everything he says. It's very self-centered. So playing him is completely opposite to who I am. So if I can pull this one off, that would be true acting, wouldn't it? So it's hard. It's hard to actually bring up a lot of anger. And, I mean, basically all the lines on stage are, he's yelling the whole time. There's no down time. And there's no chance to get to see the character other than in his rage. So that's all you see. And so, I mean, it feels, your body really feels it when you stir up all that anger. So it's something that it's definitely a challenge.
So I'm Amanda Cruz. And I play the mother, the mom, in the part of the production called Young Love. And my character is, she's very conflicted as the play unfolds between loyalties, wanting to keep the peace and please everyone and be faithful and supportive to her husband, but also to her children. And she's an important sort of counterbalance to the dad and the character of the dad. And I won't say too much because I don't want to give it away. Yeah, being in the play feels really significant to me. It's a really interesting role for me to play because I'm the very proud kind of mama mountain lion to a trans male son. And she, the character of mom, has her struggles with what's going on for her in the play. And so it's an interesting role for me to be part of that would not be, it's very different from my natural self.
Hi, my name is Rosemarie Valdez. I play the mother in a vignette, Sometimes Takes a Village. And the message of her character is love. Things that weren't said when I was raising my son needed to be said. I held off a very, very long time, and he suffered through that. These are things that are not shown to our friends and our family. They're hidden lies. They're secrets. We all have secrets. To not know how to raise your children and to do the best you can when you have a father, a husband who is vicious and mean, and we are a servant to him as women, and not being able to speak. To be able to show that we need to stop that violence. Be able to speak our word, just say no to the violence of not having our word and our freedom is one reason I for this play. It's time to be able to stand up and say, no, he's my son. But in those times, I didn't take charge. And so the opportunity for me in the play to say, I'm sorry, I apologize to my son for my mistakes. This is the healing. This is something that we all must take a step up to do, is apologize when we're wrong. It's big, it's huge, because we don't know if they're going to ever accept it. I think that it's important to see this play because of the revealing of lots of places that we need healing. Lots of things that happen to us in personal relationships are not told and not taught and not shown, and we're made bad, broken, wrong, stupid. We're made to feel small when we're really doing the best we can in each relationship. We're just doing the best we can. But you can't do it without information. And so these vignettes show what's going on truly in the lives of many and wake us up to where we need a healing. Wake us up to say no. Wake us up to say yes. Make us become awake, aware, conscious of the challenges and the what life presents itself with, instead of lying about it, revealing it and healing it and moving forward to be the love that we're meant to be, because it's all about love. Every single vignette, and that's why I'm here, because I love. And the healing light of love in us frees us all to be better.
Hello, my name is Nicholas, and recently moved from Greece, so excuse my Greekness. And it's my first time in this play, and I'm so excited about it. My role is Victor. I play Victor in the vignette, which is called Sometimes It Takes a Village. And Victor is an alcoholic, and his friends and family, they try to persuade him to go for rehab. He tries to put his things together in his mind, and this is all about. The message of this character is that we all been through difficulties, and the message is simple. Do not give up. There's always some strength inside you, and sometimes it takes a village to push this strength outside, so you can succeed and you can do things that you thought that you cannot, that you are not able. Being in this play for me is a challenge. As I said, I recently moved from Greece, and I don't feel that my language is good enough to support a role, so it is challenging, and I like this because I like doing difficult things, so I hope it will be done very well.
My name is David Hall, and I play Michael in Sometimes It Takes a Village. The message of my character is you need to finally do something, and do the right thing, realizing that you need help and getting that support, because my character, he realizes that he can't do it anymore. He can't help his partner that's an alcoholic. And he's finally seeking help from a doctor and from his friends and family. And so he's finally getting that help and helping his partner, Victor. Really, to me, that this play makes me feel, one, very nervous, because I'm typically a singer. And when I have done things on the stage, it has been something either musical or so forth. But I'm really excited to be in a more dramatic role. The character is kind of similar to me in the sense where I tend to be the more serious of whenever I'm in a relationship. And so I'm not normally very dramatic in my regular life, so it's kind of pushing me out of my comfort zone. And I think it's going to help a lot of people, letting people know that, you know, you can seek help. You can don't have to keep things just within your walls, but you can seek help from a doctor, from your friends and family. You can make things happen. You doesn't have to stay that way. So I think it has a great message like that, and you can help those people that you love, because we can't do everything on our own sometimes. So,
hi, I'm Preston Capitan. I play Frank in It Sometimes Takes a Village. The message of my character is being there for family when it matters most. The play means a lot to me because I've dealt with alcoholism in my family, from my father to my mom to my sister. It's a very traumatic experience growing up around alcoholism because it not only affects you as a person growing, but it affects your aspect of life when you're growing up. What I want to portray is no matter how hard things are with a sibling or a father to a son or son to a father, is never giving up, but sometimes making the choice to stand back because you've done everything possible to help them. And sometimes the best thing is to let them help themselves. Recently, my sister just got off methamphetamines. She is 112 or 13 days clean as of today. I did everything I possibly could to be there for her. And when I started playing Frank, I realized that I had to take a step back and give her the ultimatum of, until she wanted to get clean, that I wasn't going to be there anymore. And that's basically what I find important to people, is seeing that sometimes it takes not being there to open someone's eyes.
Hi, my name is Danny Morga, and I play Adam in Sometimes It Takes a Village. The message of my character is that I am pretty much reading a letter to Victor, who's dealing with alcoholism, and I'm there to basically just tell him how I feel. And being in this play means a lot to me, actually. It just gives me more of a confidence and a confidence boost. So it's a pleasure to be on stage.
My name's David Perez, and I play Tony in the vignette Sometimes It Takes a Village. The message of my character is, you know, don't be afraid to say how you feel. A lot of people in situations when there's alcoholism or drug addiction, they tend to be afraid of saying something that may upset somebody else. And if you keep quiet, it's kind of like silent approval. It allows that person to continue harming themselves, whether or not they believe they are. And Tony's character just really is in your face and very blunt and just has absolutely no shame to say it like it is. So being that character, I feel resonates with me because in my group of friends, I tend to be that person. I'm not afraid to say how I feel, nor point something out that I find to be unhealthy or something that could be damaging. So I'm always that supportive person. And there are times where my message of concern comes off that may be so abrasive, people think I'm being rude. And Tony's similar. He's very sassy. And, you know, he comes off rude from time to time. But that's just him.
Hi, this is Sheridan Gold, and I play Dr. Ives in the vignette called Sometimes It Takes a Village. I think the message of my character is that when people come to a therapist for help, the therapist's job is to hold everybody, hold the container for the sorrow and for the joy. And that's what my character does. The message is that everybody has an opportunity for healing. And my job as a therapist is to hold everybody's emotions and to make sure everybody has a voice. And also the message is to educate the audience that sometimes it takes more than one person to conquer a problem. Sometimes it takes a village to help with a very deep problem. And I think maybe the message also could be to trust. You know, there's so much anger at being found out, but once the secret is exposed, to trust that maybe things can get better. And the Dr. Ives, my character, is holding everybody in that trust, and there is no betrayal on her part, and people do come to a healing solution. How do I feel about being in the play? I like it. It's fun. I like to meet new people. Diana is a great director, and she gives us lots of fun things to do in the beginning for warm-ups, and then we get to know each other on a deeper level, and it's really fun rehearsing. And you know, I've never been a therapist. I mean, my wife is a therapist, and so I hear things, but I've never really been one. So this is the closest I can be to being a therapist, and it's kind of fun.
Hi, my name's Lori Pryor, and I play Karina in The Letter. Karina's a truth teller. She tells it like it is, even if it creates a little bit of discomfort in other characters. I can relate to Karina a little bit in my life. I also feel like I'm a truth teller in many situations. I feel like it's been an incredibly emotionally connecting experience for me. Mm-hmm. So I've just come through some hard times in my life, and it's just all the people that are in the play have been so warm and accepting and welcoming. I've never been in a play before, and everybody has just been so supportive and just a lot of beautiful people.
Hi, I'm Karen Tausig. I play Hallie in the play. And the message of my character is she's the supportive spouse of her soon-to-be wife that receives a very disturbing letter from her father hours before the wedding.
Hi, my name is Christy Quint, and I am playing the character of CJ in The Letter. And I think the message of my character there's a couple messages. One is coming to terms with how family, how people closest to you truly feel and where that fits in your life. And then realizing or changing your definition of what family is and finding your family. And being in this play, for me, well, one, it's getting me back on stage again after a long hiatus. But it really feels important to keep the conversation moving forward, and especially uncomfortable situations. And I think these are situations that don't have to just apply to a gay community or trans community. It can be anyone. So there's a lot of that's pretty universal and important and difficult situations and conversations to have.
So how was that, listening to the voices of your actors, Diana?
Wow, that was really wonderful to hear them. Like, it's like I was just smiling the whole time. It's like they get it, you know, they understand the characters, and you know, and they went really deep into what the characters are portraying, you know, what the messages are. So I was really, really moved and touched. My heart warmed up, and I had a big smile on my face, and I felt proud, you know, like a proud mom or a director, you know, that's like, wow, they're getting it.
So it's like they're not just robots memorizing lines. It sounds like what you're saying. It's like it's going deeper.
Exactly. And I love the fact that they spoke, some spoke about the journey of them becoming together and working together and feeling supported by each other and building community. It's like these 19 strangers or so, or 12 strangers coming together with these original seven. They become family. They become friends. We laugh together in rehearsals. It's just a beautiful experience. So I'm really proud of them. I'm really, really, really proud of them. It's nice to see how they've grown so. Just stepping into a new situation, not even knowing anything about the play or the characters, and then to witness these shy people come alive and to hold so much in their hearts about these characters. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Listening to them speak, it almost sounds like they're making connections with their character life and their real life and finding commonalities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a theme from the beginning. Even more so in you know, before. A lot of clients, it's amazing how different people who I choose for certain roles, it like, wow, it's like it fits their lives in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, like Preston's talked about his sister and his mom and his dad, the alcoholic part of his experience in his life, and Miss Rosie, and, you know, different people. It's it happens that way. And so they learn. They learn something about themselves and what they can take out into the world and how they can be different.
Yeah, I was really taken with Preston's interview when he said that his character, Frank, has taught him how to step back. And he actually stepped back from his sister, who was addicted to methamphetamines. And it sounds like he did the healthy thing, which... Mm-hmm. Maybe he can attribute to Frank in your play and the things he's learned with the cast and private lives.
Sometimes, yeah, that's yeah, exactly. But some people think that it's a mean thing and it's not a healthy thing to turn your back on. But it's like if you're doing all the work, basically, if the helper is doing all the work, how is the other person learning or striving to do something different? It's like you can hold somebody's hand without holding their hand. And you can encourage them, but you don't have to lose yourself in doing it. So that's what I'm trying to say. And also, the other piece is you don't have to be alone. Just like what David said about his role as Michael, the partner of the alcoholic. He was doing everything. You know, they're losing their home. They're losing everything. You know, the relationship was going south. But he realized he needed other people to help him. He doesn't have to hold that secret and that burden on his back. Ask for help. It's out there.
Yeah. So, Diana, at the end of your production, each play, you have a Q&A. And I'm curious why you do that and what you've learned from doing that.
Oh, share. That is like the keystone of part of why I continue to do it. I can't see not having a Q&A. That's when I really can see and hear the medicine because of how the audience respond. We can have over 100 people in the audience and maybe two or three or four or five at the most leave when it's time for a Q&A. Because maybe they got the babysitter waiting or whatever. But most, 98% of the people stick around and they listen and they ask questions. And many of the the audience members have questions that they like want to ask. How are you dealing with this? You know, how was this for you? You know, they want to know, are you all LGBTQ, you know, whatever. So it's a beautiful exchange of energy and advice and learning for everybody. And so people don't want to leave. They want to keep talking and keep talking. So you can really see the healing and the positive energy that is flowing at that point during the Q&A. It would be empty if I didn't have that.
And you mentioned that you want to keep going. So what are your plans for the future?
You know, even though it's tiring sometimes, you know, because I feel like I'm a one-woman show, and sometimes it feels lonely, like they say, it's lonely on the top. But I plan to do it again. I want to do it again. I'm going to keep doing what I do, rejuvenate myself, and then step into finding a venue. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to look for places in Sebastopol, Sonoma. I'm going to look for places there. So wherever I can find a decent venue where I can make it, I can create it. For instance, at Nurse Shalom, where we're going to be in July, it's not a huge stage, but we're going to make it work. It's going to be perfect. So I just need to find venues. So hopefully the angels are listening. I can find a couple people to help me find venues, and maybe I can find people to help me with casting. You know, finding people who might want to act. Hopefully, if I can find a venue real soon, I keep the actors that I have. I think people are growing and stepping into challenges, but they're changing. When we do difficult things, what do people say? What happens? We change. We learn something about ourselves. I mean, it's a good thing to want to learn about ourselves and to build relationships with other people. So it's a win-win, right? So, yeah, so I plan to continue to do it again because I know the medicine, and I want to keep saying that about the medicine.
So, Diana, do you have any advice for people listening?
You know, I have so much to say as it relates to this play, Private Lives, Private Lies. It was a dream for me to put it on, and I've had lots of dreams writing books and creating things and bringing things to fruition. And what I want to say is, don't stop your dream. If you have dreams, if you want things, especially if you're doing things that are positive and productive and about love and about healing and about change, those are important things because you're touching lives. And as I say, I've learned through these experiences of doing this production 7 times. This is going to be our 7th time.
Well, 7th venue.
7 venues, I should say, because that's, yeah, it is different when you say it. 7 different locations.
Because some locations you did it 3 times and some you did it 2 times. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't give up. Just follow your path. Don't give up. Ask for help and get the support that you need. One more piece of advice. Don't let issues in your life hold you hostage. It doesn't serve you or other people because you have so much to offer. Face yourself. No more hiding. Confront your addiction or confront someone else's addiction. Create a better relationship for yourself. Remove all that negativity around you that you don't need. And focus on love and caring because we all deserve that. You deserve that. So set yourself free. Set yourself free because you deserve it. And this play is important. You can learn a lot. Come and see it. Go to www.privatelivesprivatelies.com. Get your ticket. Invite a friend, a family member, somebody who might can benefit from all of these different topics. Everyone can learn something from it. Everyone can be touched or moved. This is why this play is important.
Well, that's wonderful words of advice and words of wisdom, Diana. And here are some cast members also telling us why it's important to see this play.
Why is it important for someone to come and see the play?
Well, if anyone's experiencing any confusion within themselves or their family, it could help create some shift for them and maybe create some comfort in their hearts.
I think it's important that people see the play because youth and our opinions and who we are, we need to let people know that our opinions are valid, even if they might not agree all the time. I think it's important that we see past each other's differences, and I hope this play can help people realize that. It's important for people to see the play because, again, it shows diversity of character of queer individuals, which can be important to people who may not know that much about the queer community or might stereotype it, even if they're doing so in a benign fashion. You know, it's still important to see other people being who they are and accepting that.
I think it's important and very powerful and valuable that people see this play because it provides a lot of food for thought and the opportunity to maybe see aspects of people's lives that are normally hidden and that we just take for granted either aren't there or we have no visibility into and no way to either empathize or understand. And so there's an opportunity to broaden our understanding of what of the experience of many different people's lives, particularly in the LGBTQ arena. And I think that's super valuable.
I feel like it's important for people to see this play to just understand that all of us, no matter who we are, what sexuality we are, we all have the same issues, and we also have the same heartaches and joys.
So with that, you know, the play in itself is very important as a community because even though there is an LGBTQ theme around it, there are a lot of social and family dynamics that all people can relate to. And it's very eye-opening. I believe that the message of every vignette in this play speaks true to everybody and the human race, not just a specific community. And I feel like the messages that come from the play are something that everyone needs to hear. They give you the encouragement and the empowerment to stand up and actually tell somebody, you know, hey, I'm here for you. I know what's going on. It's ugly, but, you know, I'm here to help. And it really brings the good out in people because it exposes them to what our society sees as maybe taboo.
I think it's important for people to see this play, anyone to see it. Again, with me not being gay, there's so many things that I have taken for granted and hadn't had to think about or worry about. And it's helped me be more aware and get to know my community.
It's important to see this play because throughout everything, it's home to just about everybody. It brings to light of the things either you've tried to do or you're in the current situation of trying to figure out what to do to help somebody in need. And I hope that the messages that all these actors are sending is received one way or the other, whether you want to be there for somebody or you can't be there for somebody because of other circumstances.
And I think it's really important that people see this play because it has a great message. You know, we're going to talk about real issues. I mean, personally, like in my family, we have a lot of issues with addiction, and a lot of times those things just are left to keep going and going, and it doesn't just affect the one person who's addicted, it affects everyone. And it really kind of poisons the family, really. And especially within my community, the African-American community, it tends to allow to be kept going because a lot of us don't go to see mental health professionals. We don't go and seek help, all these types of things. So I think it's important just to get the word out there. For my particular play. So I think it'll be great for people to see that, and it's tough, it's a difficult thing, but they can get through it, and hopefully it create some change.
I think it's important that people see this play because, you know, the themes are universal. It's not just LGBTQ themes. It's themes of humanity. It's the parent who doesn't accept you for whatever it is, you know. It's the partner who does not want to be intimate any longer. I mean, everybody has those issues. It doesn't matter if you're gay or not, right? It's the child who makes choices that the family wishes they wouldn't. And how does the child come out whole and not beat up by the parent? So if there's also lots of opportunity for healing. And I think this play is so educational because it shows people that you can tell your secret, you can get healing, you can move forward, and you can choose your family. And I think those are really good, wonderful, powerful lessons that the play brings, messages, I should say, that the play brings to the public.
Greeks used to say theater is a catharsis, which means a cleaning of ourselves. So being part of this makes me feel better, makes me understand myself better. This is really important for people, that they will come and see our play, that they will be part of it, and they will find themselves in these characters, and they will figure out that, you know what, these people, they have this and this and that problem, and we can face our problem the same way that the character face the problem, because each character has a message. So it is very important for the audience that will be there to see this and take the messages and go back home and talk these messages with their friends and families and spread the word out there.
I think this play is important for everyone to come see, whether you are gay or straight or in a relationship or not, only because it really allows you to see the hearts of people and the importance of loving each other and allowing people to love where their heart goes.
Well, that was very profound, all the voices of why it's important to see this play.
Yes, it was. I'm blushing. Can you see my red cheeks? I'm so proud of my cast. I am so, so in love with them and so blessed to have them join me on this journey.
And we'll be leaving you tonight with some music from an all-lesbian klezmer band. They are called the Isle of Klezbos, and they will be performing on July 8th at the Katati Cabaret in Katati. And here's the living proof reminder. Just like Diana, you too can come on the air, share what you're doing and how you're living by being living proof that you are visible and vibrant and proud. Until next month,
good night.